in many cases, we significantly de-risk the process. Case in point, to take like a label expansion opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. If we were just to present some preclinical validation, there's still a very significant chance that moving that therapeutic through to market is not going to succeed.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is on how pharma can use AI to turn disparate clinical data into actionable insights. In many pharmaceutical companies, discovery and R&D have not changed significantly in the way that they're approached, despite all the recent changes in access to big data and AI. My guests today are from a company, Zephyr AI, that can bring drug discovery and personalized medicine to a whole new level of insight. Today, I'm with two people. I'm firstly with David Morgan, the CEO of Zephyr AI, and Jeff Sherman, the co-founder and CTO of Zephyr AI. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start with Jeff. Could you tell me a little bit about your background and what led you to found or co-found Zephyr AI?
Sure. So I am I'm a computer scientist by training with a specialization in machine learning. And I started my career doing applied R&D in the government space, mostly for DARPA and IARPA, before leaving that job to go pursue a health tech startup, where I built out health and behavioral recommendation engines at scale. And so became really steeped in kind of health tech and some of the problems associated with data in that space and leveraging AI. And so after that company was acquired by United Healthcare, I left to go co-found a VC incubation firm called Red Cell Partners, along with my co-founders in Zephyr, Grant Verstandig, and Yisrael Brummer. And what we sort of put our heads together to kind of realize is that AI is being democratized in many industries at a rapid pace. And in healthcare, the adoption is somewhat slow. And given our connections and experience with healthcare data and healthcare entities in the form of payers and providers, was there some way that we could leverage that experience to bring to bear AI, in a way that could move the needle with respect to precision medicine from prevention to treatment?
Nice. And David, could you tell me, do the same, a bit about your background and what led you to Zephyr AI?
Sure. I don't think it's nearly as exciting as Jeff's, but I'll give it a shot. I've got here about a year ago after having some conversations with Jeff, Yisrael, and Grant, the three co-founders. And I was at a company called Eurofins, where I was running a portfolio of companies in the clinical diagnostics space, as well as CRO. Very happy, having a great time. Early implementers of some AI around transplant. One of the programs we had at Eurofins, we purchased a company called Transplant Genomics, and we were looking at different assays and putting these assays together in a way where we could create a prediction that approached, if not beat, the positive and negative predictive value of a biopsy. So post-transplant patients, maybe experiencing rejection, no real good assays for it other than what is, of course, a fairly evasive test, a biopsy. And so having built an AI group together and started to try to solve this problem of taking gene expression assays and cell-free DNA and patient history in a way where you can make these predictions, it was just the perfect time for our discussion and to hear what one they'd created in terms of a proof of concept, but also what the aspirations were going forward. And there is, as Jeff alluded to, their deep expertise in health tech. Prior to that, I've been a CEO in private equity. I've been a public company officer with LabCorp. Started out as a military officer. I was a hard science pre-med undergrad, went into the Marine Corps for what was going to be 3 years, turned into 10, and then went to grad school. So since grad school, I've been in healthcare companies of various ilk, whether it be diagnostics or hospital or device, for the last 20 years.
Well, powerful combination between the two of you. Very nice. Can we start with a little bit about Zephyr AI in general and what kinds of things you do in this space?
Sure. I'll start off, and I think Jeff's way better suited to talk about the power of these things and really meeting the unmet need. But one of the things that the folks at Rally and the founders, Jeff in particular, recognized early on is ingesting huge disparate data sets, harmonizing them in a way that can be used, real world data, can be amazingly valuable. And there's a lot of things in that real world data that can be extrapolated in a way. And oh, by the way, that now is a time where the regulatory agencies, the FDA, in the case here in the US, and others are more likely to accept this data. And not necessarily in lieu of, but in conjunction with standard clinical data that you would see in a pre-IND or phase one or phase two drug. And so really, really good at and they built a lot of very cool tools to ingest that information and harmonize. And then Jeff, by virtue of the fact that he's a data scientist, has hired a team of world-class data scientists who are able to then organize the data, certainly, but then build the algorithms, the AI against them to make predictions. And we have two areas in which we're using real world data, one of which is in drug discovery, and the other one, precision medicine. I think you alluded to it in your preamble, but we're starting with type 2 diabetes. And I think we can talk a bit about that. But really, the idea is to eventually get to whole patient populations. We're starting with the chronic disease, because we have a partner in this, and they also happen to be an investor, and we'll talk about that in a second. But by 2030, if you are following, you know, what's going on in healthcare, and in this case, in value-based care, the government is aspirationally put a goal out to be, you know, value-based for Medicare customers by 2030. Which is ambitious. There's a lot of things that need to happen. However, we do believe there's a trend towards that. It's good for patients. And if you can figure it out, you can lower the cost of care. Most importantly, improve the outcome. And so that's really the hypothesis around the predictive analytics group, is to build a tool, a SaaS-based tool that can be used, and eventually where we can participate in risk with our risk-bearing entity partners. Help make patients better, but again, lower the cost of care. On the therapeutic identification side, I think we could do the broad spectrum of discovery through phase three. After a lot of analysis, we picked some areas where we think there is, again, an unmet need. And I'll ask Jeff to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. So I think from a broad perspective, Zephyr AI's mission is really to bring to bear advances in transparent AI across the spectrum of precision medicine. So from prevention to treatment. And in the prevention space, as David mentioned, we're really looking at getting ahead of adverse outcomes for patients at the individual patient level, and also more broadly at the patient population level. And then on the drug discovery and therapeutic identification side, we're interested in getting the right treatment to the right patient at the right time. And these seem like pretty disparate areas of precision medicine, but the common denominator here, we believe, is actually the underlying data that facilitates the training and validation of the AI models that we're constructing. And so we achieve some pretty significant economies of scale in ingesting, normalizing, harmonizing that data to support these two business initiatives. So really, we have a pretty ambitious mission at Zephyr, but we think a confluence of factors have come together to situate us in such a way that we can essentially bring to bear these advances in AI in these seemingly disparate areas through integration of data.
And data is the key. Could you tell me a bit about what kinds of data that you use and that you have in your platform?
Absolutely. So I mentioned that data serves as a common denominator for us. And so in both therapeutic identification and drug discovery and in population health management and prevention, we leverage EHR data and claims data. What's special with respect to our treatment initiative is that we focus primarily initially on oncology. And in oncology, in some cases, there's also limited amounts of molecular profiling that are captured as well in the form of next-generation sequencing panels. And so RAI is able to combine that with EHR and claims data to make non-obvious predictions about responders versus non-responders in real-world data.
I mean, just on an important point that I probably skipped over quickly, but in, you know, that our approach right now is well, we can, I think, do the full spectrum. It's looking for these opportunities for label expansion on existing drugs that are already approved. And we found some of that already.
Wow.
Working with partners, which is pretty exciting, using these, Jeff's words, non-obvious multi-omics mechanisms of actions in cells. And so we think there's a huge opportunity there. I think, you know, that of the different data sets, we found in Jeff's team depicts these things in a SHA plot where it, you see the dimensions of the data that's most relevant all the way down to something that's less relevant. But it's amazing to see that, you know, the level, the fidelity of the data that you need to have to make a prediction go from 70 to 80 to 90%. And it may be SDOH, which is a small portion, you know, that, of the data that's needed to make that prediction, but it's still an important piece that get you to that level of high accuracy.
Yeah. And so is the data all in the platform already?
So currently we have tens of millions of patient records, all of which include EHR data, some of which include claims data. A more limited subset actually are cancer patients that have had molecular profiling done. So smaller there, but yeah, we're order tens of millions of patient records that have already been ingested into our platform.
And is that covering all different therapeutic areas or purely diabetes at the moment?
So currently we're focused on diabetes from a preventative health perspective. And then as far as treatment is concerned, we're focused on oncology.
Okay, interesting.
But I think from a partnership standpoint, and you know, one of the things we just got back from, as many did, JP Morgan, a lot of the conversations we've had around potential data partners, knowing that at this point, I mean, there's probably no such thing as too much data for us in under the real world category, and so we certainly have the capability and the aspirations to expand into other therapeutic areas. As I said, in whole patient populations on the predictive analytics side, and certainly as it relates to therapeutic identification or drug discovery, any area where we learn something that's going to be able to benefit patients and result in a new drug or a new indication for an existing drug.
Nice. And are they all U.S. patient records, or do you go international?
Currently, we're only focused in the U.S.
Okay. And could you tell me about the platform itself, a bit more about how you use it, how your clients use it?
Yeah, for sure. So on the population health management side of things, we offer a SaaS-based solution to help providers essentially manage their patient populations and identify patients that are, say, more at risk than other patients to drive interventions. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately what we'll do is recommend certain interventions as well. And then on the therapeutic identification and drug discovery side of the house, what we endeavor to do is comb through our real-world data cohorts and identify situations for a particular therapeutic or therapeutic combination where we believe that we can inform on what's called a label expansion opportunity. So essentially, take an existing therapeutic, an asset that pharma has already devoted quite a bit of time and energy into bringing to market, and identify a population of responders that no one knows about currently. And then furthermore, demonstrate that that's actually the case in real world data.
Wow. And what sort of challenges have your pharma clients brought to you so far?
Yeah, so several. I mean, some of what our pharma partners bring to us are questions about existing therapeutics in their catalog. Mm-hmm. Most recently, we've gotten questions about particular targets where there's a drug actually being developed. And what our clients are potentially interested in is stratification mechanisms. So to design their preclinical experiments for their therapeutic. So what we have built out really is a stratification mechanism that can work across the whole spectrum of drug discovery, from early phase where you have a target, you're looking for designing experiments around the molecule, to these label expansion opportunities that I mentioned before, where there's already an asset in market, but there are other patient populations who could benefit. So that's essentially what we do.
But the other piece that we envision and have conversations about is the idea of a digital companion diagnostic. Mm-hmm. Because there's, as this is the case in these very complex biological models, there's not just one biomarker that's telling a story. It's a combination, and it may be tied, to something that's is patient specific in terms of history or something like that. And so we envision that as not just for Zephyr AI, but for the industry and for medicine, healthcare, that there will be more of that under the very broad term of digital diagnostic.
Interesting. Could you maybe give one or two case studies of, examples of one of your pharma partners and what they've done with you and what the outcome was, how it changed their process, for example?
Yeah, so I don't want to be specific about the particular targets that we're pursuing, but I'll just say that one of the questions, again, that we've been asked is, can we devise a stratification mechanism to inform on the design of preclinical experiments for an associated therapeutic?
Mm-hmm. And I think there's another example related to immuno-oncology that Jeff can probably give some example where you're taking huge data sets and the possibility for millions of perturbations. Do you want to talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah. Let me just briefly mention, actually, this is a great point, that another example of a collaboration that we've done with a pharma partner is in the immuno-oncology space. And for that partner, what the partner was interested in were targets, so to speak, tumor-associated antigens that they could use prime their engineered immunotherapy. And so we do the in silico work associated with the prediction of those neoantigens. And then they do the in vitro and in vivo work associated with proving out those predictions and then ultimately bringing a drug to market. And as you're aware, this is a long process. So we're very much in the infancy of the process, but we've already delivered a set of candidate neoantigens to our partner, and they've already validated binding affinity.
And, as we talked about, before the conversation, as a new company, there's a lot of different use cases that can cripple folks that aren't appropriately focused in one or two different things. We think we are appropriately focused, but part of the work that Jeff's team did, the experiments we did, over the course of 2022 was to show the broad breadth of offerings of the ways that we can deploy against to your question, issues in complications, challenges, problems in pharma, in development, whether it be in discovery all the way to phase three. What are the types of ways we could be helpful? And it was neat to be able to see some of the small molecule stuff as well as this immuno-oncology. It helped us settle on our current strategy, of course, which is label expansion.
And so when your clients utilize your services, do you have any kind of benchmarks of how much that speeds up the work that they're doing?
Well, I would say it's in many cases, what it does is de-risk the work that they're doing,
nice.
Right? So as a case in point, to take like a label expansion opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. If we were just to present some preclinical validation, there's still a very significant chance that moving that therapeutic through to market is not going to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. So what we can do is if we can bring to bear the power of real world data to in silico validate that this is already going to work, we significantly de-risk the process. There's still a process, but we save in expectation, we save the owner of that asset a lot of money.
Nice. And you are having listened to the podcast and having talked to you before, you're well aware of the timelines. I was at the Fourth Healthcare Conference here, I guess a month ago now, if it is 15 years, I mean, it's somewhere in that area. I would argue that it's still too early to tell. We believe, like most in the space, whether they're doing novel molecule or us doing something that's maybe a little bit niche, but also nobody else is doing it on label expansion, is we see this exponentially cutting down development time. And I think there's going to be some great use case over the next 5 years where you see how fast or how much you can speed up drug development and approval by using some of these AI tools.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many benefits. Firstly, you know, you can be focusing on the right targets for a start rather than, you know, looking at tens of thousands and lots of them are failing. But then, yeah, it's going to speed up. And that label expansion is very interesting. I remember in 2020, I think it was that, DeerGen and I think it was InSilico, both looked at existing FDA-approved drugs and they were looking at what, with AI, to see, you know, which ones would actually have an impact on treating COVID. And one of them came up with atenosanavir and the other with baricitinib, and both worked in clinical trials and they worked really strongly together. And, you know, that was completely new, obviously, completely new label for those. So I think that's a big area that people would love, companies would love that sort of thing. So it's really nice to see you working in that as well. So, wow. And
just make two comments about that really quickly.
Yeah.
So, as you mentioned, there have been some successes in doing this in various domains. And we think that there's a receptive regulatory environment for this kind of stuff as well. And a lot of real world data that people know contains signal and useful information, but nobody knows how to work with. And so I think that's the skill set and technology that we bring to bear.
Yeah, no, I think that sounds amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing, because you're only 2-3 years old. How old are you now as a company?
So we're about 2 years old as a company at this point. So pretty early stage, and have done a lot of work in that short amount of time.
It's very impressive to be at where you're at now in just 2 years. It's incredible. I saw the press release that was released about MedStar Health. I don't remember exactly when that was, but you're working together on type 2 diabetes. Could you tell me a bit more about how you work together?
Sure. Yeah. It's about 6 months old. We're fortunate to be in the same region. They're nationally, if not internationally, known healthcare system here in the Mid-Atlantic, and have a unbelievable R&D apparatus inside the organization, led by a great CMO who we've been able to collaborate with, Dr. Steve Evans, and Dr. Weissman is their head of R&D over there, and they were so interested in our early output of our AI, first on the drug discovery side, that they became investors. And so we started talking about a potential use case, and they have a disproportionately high portion of diabetic patients that they service here in the National Capital Region, and said it would be great if we could create a prediction tool of our existing type 2 diabetic patients of who are most likely to progress into a comorbidity, understanding that there's great examples of linear biomarker of type 2 diabetic patients progressing into very, very debilitating and in some cases life-threatening comorbidities. We started with five, the big ones, non-healing wounds of different types, kidney disease progressing into dialysis, and revascularization associated with these non-healing ulcers of different types. And so we were able to make predictions, very accurate ones, out, taking some of their data and training on some other data that we had. But also, we're now in the process of iterating with the clinicians and seeing how far in advance we need to intervene in an effort to abate or to slow the progression into a comorbidity. And again, from a patient standpoint, these are very hard to recover from. Using kidney disease as a very, from chronic kidney disease and end-stage renal disease to dialysis, and then needing a transplant. Same thing with revascularization. So once a patient progresses into things, it's very difficult to go back. And so beyond the patient outcome, they're very, very expensive. And so we're completely aligned there on being able to use all the different real world data that we've trained on and then use their data. And so we're in the infancy of that program, but we hope to launch a proof of concept here in Q4 and a product soon after that that will be initially pointed at type 2 diabetes and then move into metabolic disease and chronic disease. And hopefully quickly after that later in 2024. And 25 into whole patient populations and giving folks a tool to manage at-risk patient populations. But the MedStar collaboration has been unbelievable, and we're certainly lucky to have them as a partner and as our first customer, to implement what we hope is a tool that will be very valuable to their physicians and their patients in 2024.
Certainly a testimonial to you that your first customer became your investor. Thank you both so much. Fascinating work. And if any of the listeners are interested in finding out more about Zephyr, you can go to zephyrai.bio and get in touch with David and Jeff there and find out more. Thank you both so much for being on the show. I'm really looking forward to seeing where you are in the next year or two.
Thanks, Zach. We look forward to staying in touch.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.